It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. While the White House is located on Pennsylvania Avenue, only one Pennsylvanian has ever occupied the executive office. Lancaster area native James Buchanan, 15th President of the United States. Here to tell us more about our nation's 15th President is Patrick Clark, Director of President James Buchanan's home, Wheatland. Patrick Clark, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you, Paul. Good to be here.
What can you tell us about James Buchanan's childhood in the Lancaster area?
Well, a childhood in Lancaster didn't begin until he was actually a teenager. He was born in a little town called Cove Gap, Pennsylvania, which is essentially a little notch in the Tuscarora mountain range down in what we now know as Franklin County, approximately 4 or 5 miles south of the borough of Mercersburg, Pennsylvania. And by the time he was 5 years old, his dad had done quite well for himself in the trading post business there in the mountains and bought a piece of land and built a two-story brick building in Mercersburg and moved his family there. And that's where James Buchanan grew up. So he didn't really come to Lancaster until he had graduated from college. He attended Dickinson College, where he earned his bachelor's degree. Instead of a BA, they called it an AB back then. And he wanted to become a lawyer. So he and his dad agreed that the capital of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania was the best place to go, and that was Lancaster.
Did growing up in Pennsylvania shape him as a leader in any particular way?
Yes. There are some historians that believe growing up so close to the border of Virginia, today, of course, the border belongs to West Virginia, but some believe that kind of shaped him and his thinking.
Patrick, what was going on in the country in the middle of the 19th century? This is just before the Civil War. It's before Lincoln. It's before the Republicans established themselves as the party of the liberal alternative. What was it about Buchanan's vision for the country that caused Americans to turn their eyes to him as a leader?
Well, I would say that it's more so what turned the eyes of the Democratic Party towards Buchanan, because in general, the nation was a nation that was being driven apart. The divide was over the balance of power in Congress and the sort of unspoken nightmare that they were all fighting over that was causing this struggle over power was slavery. One part of the country wanted to abolish slavery, and the other part of the country wanted to not only retain slavery, but see it expand. And James Buchanan really had been out of the country for 3 years, serving the Democratic Party's president, Franklin Pierce, as the ambassador to Great Britain. And so Buchanan really was kind of an untainted candidate as far as the Democratic Party could see. And when the nomination process came about, the candidates that were vying for the nomination, the incumbent president himself and the other party favorite was Stephen Douglas, kind of had their hands were the blood of the outbreaks that had taken place out in the territory of Kansas. The nation was expanding rapidly, and every time Congress was faced with trying to decide whether an incoming territory that wanted to become a state, the question was, is it going to be a state that was going to be allowed to have slavery, or is it going to come in as a state that was going to be considered a free state?
And where did James Buchanan stand on the issue? He was the ambassador to Great Britain. Great Britain took the side of the South during the Civil War. So how did that influence his thought about slavery? Or did he have his own ideas about slavery?
Well, Buchanan had a public view of slavery and a private view. His private view was that he wasn't a big fan of slavery, its existence. He had tried to purchase enslaved humans while serving in office in Washington and filed for their permanent emancipation and brought them to Pennsylvania to set them free. And that's been documented in a number of areas. But his public view, because he was part of this very conservative party and considered pretty much a conservative politician himself, in their eyes, and in really, frankly, the eyes of everyone who took a legal view of how the nation should be run, the U.S. Constitution protected private property. And until the nation could come to grips with the fact that you shouldn't own human beings, the U.S. Constitution was perceived as a document that protected human beings. And that's really, I think, where the next president, Blinken, really redefines how the nation as a whole should really think about what document is it that really governs us. Is it the U.S. Constitution, which is a document of laws, or is it the Declaration of Independence? And he sided on believing that the Declaration of Independence was the document that trumped it all. So Buchanan really was in many ways a strict constructionist, and really was some historians would say totally in love with the law, and that if it wasn't defined in the law books, then it just couldn't be dealt with.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. This is 90.5 WESA, and we're talking this President's Day with Patrick Clark, director of President James Buchanan's home, Wheatland. James Buchanan is the only president from Pennsylvania, and he also is not only special for that reason, but he was the only bachelor president in the history of the United States. What other things were notable about Buchanan as president, Patrick?
Well, Buchanan actually was a conservative, and one of the things that he really is seen as doing is kind of trying to keep the United States government from overstepping its boundaries. So as a result, the politicians that wanted to support bills in Congress that would help the nation's economy grow, Buchanan wouldn't have anything to do with it because he didn't see that as the role of the U.S. government. So he vetoed an awful lot of bills that would have helped business grow and expand. The other thing about Buchanan that folks probably don't realize is that Buchanan practiced what became sort of a tripping point in his presidency. His last crisis he had to deal with was the crisis of secession when Abraham Lincoln was elected in November of 1860. Ultimately, between then and February, seven states would secede from the Union. And Buchanan took a firm stand with the initial seceders out of South Carolina by strongly refusing to acknowledge a state's right to secede. At the same time, he was trying to hold back the war hawks from the rest of the country who were wanting him to take a strong, coercive stance with the seceders. And Buchanan did this because he knew that being too coercive would mean that the United States government would be faced with war. And the last thing he wanted to do was to have the U.S. government take the first shot, so to speak. And that's something that he does hold in common with his successor, Abraham Lincoln. Lincoln waited for the South to take the first shot and therefore took on the role of declaring war against the belligerent states.
There's something that I read when we talked about Buchanan being the only bachelor president. I recall reading somewhere that he may have, in fact, been gay. That's what some of the stories said. What do you know about that?
Well, I think there are a lot of scholars, one in particular, James Lowen, who published a number of books, Lies Across America, is one that comes to mind. And they like to take statements out of documents and pull them out of context entirely. And they use a lot of the traditional writings of a gentleman such as Buchanan in a way that puts him in that kind of a light where they want to be able to apply a modern day concept of gay living to a 19th century person. We don't really know whether James Buchanan was gay. We don't know whether he was heterosexual. We don't know if he was asexual. We do know that he was a bachelor. We know that he had been engaged to at least one, if not two, different women in his life. It's certainly an interesting thought and something that I would say is worth exploring. But to date, I've not yet seen enough irrefutable evidence that James Buchanan could be called gay.
Last question for you. Why did U.S. News and World Report rank Buchanan as the nation's worst president? Do you think he deserves this ranking?
Well, I don't think any U.S. president deserves being ranked, but it's a fun game that we all play. Buchanan made a good number of mistakes in his presidency. He treated the presidency the way a lot of his predecessors had by kind of deferring to congressional power. The presidency was sort of a limited bag of powers as far as the office went. But the other thing that Buchanan did was he treated his presidency as he had treated his roles as a diplomat. He tried to be his own Secretary of State, And that is always a kiss of death for any president who goes into the office and tries to be his own chief diplomat. And so he was trying to bring multiple sides to the center and seek compromise from all sides, and he failed to do that. And when a diplomat fails to achieve neutral ground for all the parties that they're dealing with, they end up being vilified by all the sides. And that's exactly what happened to James Buchanan. So does he deserve the ranking of being the worst president of the United States? He certainly deserves to be criticized for how he handled a number of different crises in his career as president of the United States. But was he the worst? I don't know. I can think of a few guys that were in the office at different times in history that probably deserve to be in the basement along with him.
Always open for debate. Patrick Clark is director of President James Buchanan's home, Wheatland. James Buchanan, the only president from Pennsylvania. Patrick Clark, thank you for filling us in about his life and legend here on Essential Pittsburgh.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.